Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Acts 20:24. This is, if you will recall, we are using this verse as our theme for this new year of 2024. The verse is at the top corner of the cover of the bulletin, and it will be a reminder for us throughout the year of the theme that we have and the focus that we want to have here at Berean in this new year. Our theme is to testify the gospel of the grace of God in 2024, seeing that as an important focus for us to have in these days. Now, we chose Acts 20:24 because of the 2024 reference. If you remember, a few weeks ago we told you how we arrived at this particular verse. And now we are working through this one verse. There are four statements of the Apostle Paul, and we're reflecting a little bit on what he has said here in this verse to guide us in this new year that is ahead. So Acts 20, verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And we picked up on that last phrase, which kind of seems the ultimate point and purpose of Paul's ministry as to be our theme for this year. We've already considered the first phrase, "But none of these things move me." And several weeks ago, we thought through the external things that Paul was considering in the context from verse 17 down to verse 23. These were external things that were seeking to discourage him from going to Jerusalem. That was where his heart was. That's where he was heading, and he was purposed to go there. And he said in the context that in every city he went into, the Spirit of God was testifying that bonds and tribulation awaited him at Jerusalem when he would go. It's not that the Spirit of God said, don't go. It's just that the Spirit of God witnessed that this is what will be happening when you get to Jerusalem. And Paul's mind was still to go. And so he says, none of these things move me. They are not going to stop me. They're not going to dissuade me. They're not going to cause me to give up this purpose of getting to Jerusalem. He's still going to go. And so to be unmoved by external circumstances, I believe, would take a great deal of purpose of heart, of strength through the Spirit of God to continue to go. It's not that he wouldn't have been afraid of some of these things coming up, but they were not going to stop him from going. We kind of learned a lesson that there's lots of things in this world that would seek to dissuade us, discourage us from being good examples and witnesses for the Lord Jesus. We need to be sure that we understand what they are, but set them aside as not worthy to stop us from being good believers in the Lord Jesus. Secondly, we notice the phrase, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." That's the second thing that Paul says. And we thought about Paul's personal evaluation of his own life in comparison to the ministry he had received of the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So while the first verse relates to external influences and things that would discourage, the second phrase deals with inner sense of who he is as a person and what is really important to him in light of the ministry. Also, in light of the Holy Ghost, witnesses of the bonds and the afflictions awaiting him in Jerusalem, he said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. These things are going to happen because the Spirit of God said so, but I'm not going to hold back or worry about my own life in order to do what Christ has given me to do. So Paul would not even be deterred even to the protection and survival of his own life. He didn't count it dear unto himself. And as he got closer to Jerusalem, We noticed this last week, week before. Others tried to prevent him from going to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 21, when Paul finally landed in the Middle East, was beginning to make his way down to Jerusalem, on several occasions there were individuals that told him he should not go. And in light of a man named Agabus, who came up from Jerusalem and prophesied that there would be trouble for Paul and that he shouldn't go into Jerusalem, Paul answered this way. He said, "What mean ye to weep?" This is Acts 21, 13 and 14. "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" Right? So he saw their concerns and their advice not to go as something about which he should weep and have his heart break, because he's not only ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Christ, if that became a necessary thing. "I don't count my own life dear unto myself." He was ready to give it. And we also learned along the way, too, that Paul was following the example of the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us when he died on the cross, was not willing to be delivered from that, but went to the cross as it was the will of the Father. So Paul is not concerned for his own safety and livelihood as it relates to ministry. He was ready to give his life for the cause of Christ. And we learn that lesson for ourselves as well. That's the mindset that we all should have even today. So now thirdly, the third phrase that he mentions here is, "that I might finish." That I might finish. Paul's whole approach to life and service was that he might finish it. And he lists two very important things to finish. First, he says that he might finish his course with joy. And secondly, that he might finish the ministry which the Lord Jesus gave him, which was basically to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So let's, for the few moments we have left this morning, to look at this first statement, to finish his course with joy, and we'll do that this morning and look at the next one next time. The word "finish" here is the Greek word teleao. Teleao. It's a significant term in the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, teleao. It's used 24 times in the New Testament, and there's a couple of variations of it along the way as well. But this particular form, teleao, means to make perfect, to complete, to accomplish, to fulfill. It's actually translated to fulfill in one verse in the New Testament, and also means to bring something to an end. And so he wants to finish these two things in his purpose. To make it perfect, to complete, to accomplish, to fulfill, to bring to an end. This was Paul's great desire, his great purpose, to complete and perfect his course with joy. We look at some of the testimonies that Paul has given and recorded for us in the epistles, and to us it might seem that there really were not very many occasions for joy in his life. He suffered quite a bit all down through those years, and yet he always had that joyful spirit about him, and he would communicate that when he wrote his letters to the various churches and to people. Jesus actually used this same word in John 17 and verse 4. Remember, John 17 is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, what we would call the real Lord's Prayer. He said in John 17 verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Right? So this is in the prayer that Jesus is giving to his Father. And there he says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Another place where this word is used is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, a very important verse in the scriptures where Paul had been dealing with a thorn in the flesh. He prayed about it three times and finally received an answer where he said, when he prayed about it, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's teleao. Perfect, complete in weakness. That would be in Paul's human weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Right? So he doesn't count his life dear unto himself, that's for sure. And he accepts the grace of God in his life to make him perfect, his strength perfect in his own weakness. And how important it is to us to finish or to complete some task that we've started. Down through the years, it has been a running joke in our family about how long it takes me to finish certain projects. Our house in St. Catharines, when we lived there, took me 8 years to finish a small renovation project.
That was on Beatrice
Street. Beatrice Street, I can't even remember. Yeah, 8 years to finish a small little renovation project. And even in our house over here now, there's still some things that have not been finished since we put the addition on for Mom and Dad. And it becomes an in-house joke in the Redding family. But we know that there is great satisfaction that comes when you complete a task in a timely fashion. Right. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's done. It's taken care of. You can move on to other things. It certainly gives rest to our souls. You don't have to fuss about unfinished projects. And this was Paul's goal. He wanted to finish his course with joy. And so what does he want to finish or complete? It's his, he says, his course. The word course is the Greek word dromos. Dramas. It's not a very frequent word that you find in the in the New Testament, and it simply means, according to the lexicons, a course. A course of life or a course of service, something along that line. It would involve a direction, a pathway that leads to a certain destination, his course that he is following. Jesus talked about the course of life that leads into the future. Didn't use the word course, but he used the word way. Remember in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so Jesus is talking about a course, a direction of life. The narrow way is the way of righteousness, he says, and the way of godliness, the way of holiness. We enter in through that gate by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our way as Christians is not the broad way that leads to destruction, but the narrow way that leads to life. That is a course of direction that we all have as believers in Christ. And so we have this course to follow. Something that God gives us to do. And part of that course is to be a good witness unto the Lord Jesus. Right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 talks about that. You will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We want to be good witnesses unto the Lord Jesus. We also, part of this course, is to be ready to give an answer to those who ask of us of the hope that we have in Christ, and be ready and prepared to tell them about what Christ has done for us. Part of this course is to live an abundant life to the honor of our Savior and our Lord, to His glory and to His joy. And maybe there is some particular thing that God has given you to do, unique to you, a deep desire to serve the Lord in some way that He has gifted you to do. Sorry, I have to keep hydrating here. It could be anything from, looking after folks in need. You have an opportunity, you have a desire to help in need, those in need, and that becomes part of our course for service. And I expect that you want to complete or finish that course at some time or other. Of course, our spiritual course as believers in Christ will only be complete when? At our physical death, when we take our last breath here on earth. For then we enter into eternity, and that will be time for worshiping the Lord and serving Him further in some special way. Paul's course was laid out for him shortly after his salvation on the road to Damascus, recorded for us in Acts chapter 9. And if you remember what Paul's testimony there is, he was struck down by a light from heaven, and it was the Lord Jesus. He was blinded, and had to be led into the city of Damascus. God raised up a believer there by the name of Ananias, called by God to go meet Paul and to pray and to return his eyesight. I can understand what a blessing that would be to have his eyesight back. And when Ananias, if you remember, kind of balked at the idea of thinking, well, this Paul, he's coming here to arrest Christians. Why would I want to go and help him? The Lord said to Ananias further in Acts 9, verse 15 and 16, the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he, Paul, then called Saul, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That was the course laid out for him by the Lord Jesus way back at the time of his salvation. And Paul did. He suffered many things for the cause of Christ, but he persisted on. He stayed in the way, working his way along his course as the Lord led and directed, until the day when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, he said this to him, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You love his appearing. We look to see him return and to see him face to face. There will be a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, that will await all those who love his appearing. And Paul, that was his course. I have fought a good fight. And then he says, clearly, I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. He knew that his life was soon to end, and he could testify that he had finished his course. He had accomplished that which the Lord Jesus had given him to do. It wasn't easy all the time to do that, but it was significant and profound, not only for himself, but also for those whom he ministered to along the way, because many were saved and brought to a knowledge of Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I would submit to you that 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 is a good watchword for all of us here even today. Fight a good fight, finish the course, keep the faith, and we trust that the Lord will help us to do that while we can. Finally, Paul, in this little statement, says that he wanted to finish his course in a certain way. He wanted to finish his course with joy. With joy. Even in the difficult things that he faced, I believe that Paul saw joy in them. And that kept him going, and he wanted to persist in his course that he might finish it with joy. The word joy in the Greek text is chara. Chara. It means joy and gladness. And I would submit to you this morning that this is different than mere happiness. Right? Mere happiness. Joy and gladness is significantly different, I believe, than mere happiness. Too many people in the world around us today think that they should be happy in their lives. That's the most important thing, to be happy in life. And only happy. That's the most important. And if anything takes away their happiness, they will get rid of that thing, because happiness is the only thing that matters. And so they'll get rid of anything that causes them unhappiness, whether it's a husband or wife or a job or a friend. Happiness is the whole thing in the world around us. Happiness is the only thing to many people, and unfortunately also to, I think, many Christians as well. They think that life as a Christian should always be happy. Well, it's not always going to be happy. That's not the ultimate affection that we look for. Joy, however, is different. Because even in difficult circumstances, we can still have joy, even though we may not be happy about it. Paul tells us that the supreme emotion is joy. It's an attribute that we have that comes to us through Christ and through the Spirit of God. And the thing about joy is, it's a spiritual attribute, a spiritual attitude that we can have as we submit to the Holy Spirit and as we are filled with the Spirit of God as well. Recall that joy is one part of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, right? In Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, we read this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." That's the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is singular. It's a singular fruit, but it has nine parts to it. And I remember when we had worked our way through the fruit of the Spirit some number of years ago, we made the comment that each part of that fruit is connected together with all the other parts. They work together. And so love, joy, peace works together in the heart of the person in whom the Spirit of God is producing this fruit, along with all the other parts there. So one fruit, different parts, all connected together. Joy, the second one mentioned, is produced by the Holy Spirit of God in us as we yield to Him and submit to the Spirit. And may I say that that is how we should desire to finish our course, even the course that we have from Christ, to do that with joy. The word joy appears 59 times in the New Testament, chara. And I would encourage you, take some time, maybe this afternoon or sometime this week, to look up the references of joy and see what you can learn more about it. We don't have time to do that this morning. It is a worthy study, however. So this is the first thing that Paul tells us he wants to finish. He wants to finish his course and to do it with joy. May I suggest that this should be our desire as believers in Christ as well. To live every day doing that which the Lord Jesus has given us to do, and to keep doing it until the end, and to do it with joy in our hearts, to the Lord, no matter how difficult the task may be, or frustrating, or suffering that may come along the way with it, to continue to work our way through our course, and to do that with the joy of the Spirit of God as He produces it in us. May God help us in these uncertain and perilous end times to purpose, to understand our purpose and direction, and to endure the challenges that come our way. Also, that we might serve the Lord with gladness and joy. Right to the end, there will be nothing greater in satisfaction than to finish our course with joy. Paul's heartbeat was to do that. I submit it should be ours as well, and may He help us to do just that. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for this portion of Your Word, which helps us so much in the days in which we live to understand what our focus really ought to be in this new year. We don't want to be dissuaded by external difficulties that are around us. We don't want to consider our life so valuable that we won't do some things for You, but help us always to desire and to work at finishing our course with the joy that You provide through the Spirit of God. And we know that the joy of the Lord is really our strength. Thank You for our time together in Your Word this morning. I pray that You will plant Your Word deeply into our hearts and minds and help us to carefully think on those things that You have said to us, and that this year, 2024, might be a great year for us in working through our course that You have laid out before us according to Your Word, and that we might do so with joy. Thank You for our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.